Levanter, noun, from Levant, the countries of the Eastern Mediterranean. 1. A native or inhabitant of the Levant. 2. A ship trading to the Levant. 3. A strong and raw easterly wind in the Mediterranean. Also, Levanter, one who absconds, especially one who does so after losing bets.
We present The Levanter, Eric Ambler's 1972 winner of the Gold Dagger Award for Crime Fiction, with Raad Rawi and Adam Hussein.
On the 14th of May, 1970, I was in the air between Syria and Italy, and I wish I'd stayed there. But at Damascus, the welcome was as VIP as usual. Syrian army corporal, Czech automatic rifle. Usual oaf smelling of sweat and gun oil and telling me about his son at primary school. My first appointment was not until 4:30, so I drove first to the company villa and then Teresa. She's 24. Her father was Italian consul in Aleppo, amateur archaeologist. He was knocked off by a gang of bandits in the mountains, and her mother. She was 19 then. She's been with me ever since. Secretary, general factotum, best friend.
So that was the end of that.
Teach them to mess about in Tehran with Michael Howell of Agence Howell.
Just endless maneuverings to get us out of the job, rotten company. Ah, now, that is a strange one.
What?
I've noticed the laboratory costs seem to be getting higher and higher. I've looked into them. The accounts come here for payment, but the invoices showing the items purchased go to the factory with the goods. There, most of them seem to get lost. So I wrote to the suppliers in Beirut for a duplicate set.
And?
I found one item that really was very expensive. We also had to pay a lot of duty on it. An order for 25 kilos of absolute alcohol.
Issa ordered what?
10 rotols of absolute alcohol. He uses the old Ottoman measure. I didn't know we used that much in the lab.
We shouldn't use any. Did you ask him about it?
Oh, I thought you could do that.
All right, little bastard that he is. Well, I must go and see the minister. We've always been a family concern round here. Seeing people you hate and then dealing deals with them comes as second nature in the Levant. My father operated a fleet of coasters. I was born in Famagusta, baptized Greek Orthodox. My grandfather had grown licorice on land granted as a favor by the Ottoman court for political services. That's how local we were. As local as the Dr. Howell we had to start to deal with after the Ba'athist Revolution in Syria. The new masters. We had done a deal with them to release our blocked assets by entering into joint venture with the government. The family shareholders in Agence Howell were not enthusiastic, but had to agree or lose everything they had. Dr. Howell was the industrial development king. He authorized it all. We made ceramics, furniture, metal fabrications. But it was the ceramics factory that gave rise to the Green Circle incident. And the root cause of that was the shortage of skilled labor. Hence, Issa and his ilk.
Ah, Michael, there you are. Quite safe and sound.
Thank you, Minister. I'm most grateful to you for the airport reception. It was unexpected, but very welcome.
We try to protect our friends. Doubtless you heard in Alexandria of our latest troubles.
No.
A civil airliner destroyed by bombs at the airport. Israeli saboteurs, of course.
Of course. Were they caught?
Unfortunately, no. Time bombs were used. Our security forces do not yet seem to have learnt the right lessons. Ah, here is the coffee. But it is easy to be critical when one does not have the responsibility. Michael, would you like to take over the management of a tire retreading factory?
Thank you, Minister. No, I have as much as I can cope with now.
Then let's talk about this manganese dioxide. I must say that when I heard of your interest, I was puzzled. I know that you order strange chemicals to make your colored glasses, but 60 tons?
This is not for a glaze, Minister. The idea was to use it to make Leclanche cells.
I don't think I understand.
The Leclanche is a primary cell. It has been largely superseded by the dry battery. It is a wet battery and can do many of the same things. It has its uses.
Such as what?
Ring doorbells, power telephone circuits, and so on.
Ah, a primary source of electrical energy.
Yes. It is a very simple thing to make. The zinc we would have to buy abroad, but the other materials could be found here. That is, if the manganese dioxide is all right.
What could be wrong with it?
It could be contaminated with seawater. That is why I ask for the samples to be tested.
In your absence, I had the standard tests made. They were satisfactory. It is a normal ore, probably imported from the Caucasus. Only the usual minor impurities. With 60 tons, how many batteries could you make?
More than I could sell, probably. Tens of thousands.
But here, we could create the demand?
By cutting imports of certain types of dry batteries, yes. We can make something useful with the Leclanche cells, and we cut a little off the Syrian import bill.
Very good. Could we label these batteries?
We could, certainly.
And the brand name we eventually decided on was Green Circle. They were a useful sideline for the ceramics factory. But unfortunately, the ambitious Dr. Howell was not interested in sidelines. He wanted dry batteries, which we had neither the machinery nor the labor to make.
The difficulties, Michael, are for you to overcome. I know you can do it.
I'm not sure about that, Minister.
I am.
We shall have to use the manufacturing technology of 50 years ago to accept high production costs.
I'm sure it will be very successful, Michael. Very.
Maybe you should pull out Assyria altogether. Well, that is what your mother and the other family shareholders would like.
It certainly is.
You have got them most of their money back.
Yes. But I think there is a better way around it.
Which is?
To go through the motions, set up a pilot project, and then Howell will see it is a wild goose chase. Although where I am to find the staff to make them, I don't know.
I had a whole series of problems. The batteries leaked. I had to employ a specialist inorganic chemist.
I come from Jordan, you see, Mr. Howell. I was a West Bank refugee. My family came north after the war. I studied chemistry in Amman.
And you worked as a lab assistant there?
Indeed.
At that stage, he wasn't a problem at all. Rather an asset. He was intelligent, worked hard, took himself seriously, seemed anxious to throw off his refugee handicaps and do well. The problem was with Dr. Hauer. I couldn't make him see reason about the business.
And I will study these proposals, and we will have a further meeting.
Thank you, Minister.
Meanwhile, the whole thing must be treated as confidential. I don't want the radio or television misinterpreting events.
No, of course not.
There must be no premature disclosure. I'll have to discuss matters with the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Commerce.
Of course.
Necessary clearance will have to be obtained.
Necessary clearance will have to be obtained. He said that about 6 times.
I see. Going back to the 10 rotals of alcohol, I was trying to work it out. How many liters would that be?
I don't know how much alcohol weighs. Over 50 liters, I suppose.
Can you drink the stuff?
Heavens, no. It would kill you. What you could do, though, is dilute it with water and a little burnt sugar flavoring. Then you would have hundreds of bottles you could call whiskey. Whiskey of a sort, anyway.
God, think what that would be worth on the black market.
Or even the rich imperialists like us have to buy our supplies.
You know, alcohol isn't the only expensive stuff Issa's been ordering. There are orders for mercury.
Mercury?
4 orders, 1 oak each. I did say something because the first 2 orders were marked urgent and we had to pay extra delivery charges.
What did he say it was for?
That he was experimenting a lot with mercury cells. He said that the Americans made a lot of them and they have an extra long life. He gave me the impression that you knew all about it.
Did he say that I knew?
No, not in so many words, but he gave me that idea.
Well, I didn't know. Mercury cells, for God's sake. It's more than we can do to make the ordinary kind. What kind of mercury did he order? Oxide or chloride?
Just mercury, I think. The kind you have in thermometers. He said it was a very hard metal and an oak wasn't much.
Teresa.
What?
The battery works.
Have you got a spare set of keys to the stores?
Yes.
Would you get it for me, please?
Now?
Yes. Please.
Is it something very bad?
Yes. It may be something very bad indeed, but I'm not going to spend a sleepless night waiting to find out. I'm going to the battery works to do a little stock-taking.
I'll come with you.
There's no need.
I'll drive. I know you hate it at night.
The battery works was on the Derar Road, 10 kilometers south of the city. During the French mandate, it had been a district gendarmerie. All that remained when I took it over was the shell and the high concrete walls. Very useful in a country where pilfering is a way of life.
What about the car?
Leave it. We won't be long. Come on. Through the storage yard. This way.
Michael.
What?
There's a light on in the laboratory.
It might be the watchman's lantern. Oh, no, it isn't.
Michael, I think it might be better to leave now and go home and come back in the morning, don't you?
And lose a chance of catching a matted red-handed.
Michael, there's no point.
Come on. Close to the window.
For the process of nitrosis, the nitric acid must be pure and have a specific gravity of 1.42. I have already shown you how to use a hydrometer. Now, what is the specific gravity of 95% ethyl alcohol?
Stuff, ammonia, water, etc.
Good, very good. Now observe, the reaction is almost complete, and the precipitation has begun.
Michael, what's the smell?
Now, what will be the next procedure?
Autopsy.
Filtration, exactly.
You!
Good evening, Issa.
We have been watching them. They were listening, spying. The man had a light. Look.
That's right. We were. All right, Issa. What's your explanation?
Having the advantage of education, I was instructing some students from our dispersed Palestinian people in the techniques of chemistry. I did not think I needed your permission to use the laboratory in out-of-work hours.
And when did you need submachine guns to teach chemistry? No, you're lying. What you're doing is giving a good do-it-yourself kitchen course on the manufacture of explosives. What is more, you're giving it at my expense in my factory lab.
I assure you...
Don't assure me of anything. I know what I'm talking about. The precipitate you lovingly describe is fulminate of mercury. How many detonators would that fill? Hundreds. Amateur bomb components.
My work is not amateur.
I'm not interested in the quality of your work.
But, Sir Howell...
I'm not standing here talking to the night watchman either.
But why will you not inform the police, Mr. Howell? If this man has stolen property from you, is it not your duty to inform them?
Don't tell me my duty.
Then perhaps it is time I introduce myself. You employed me as Salah Yassin, as a night watchman. An ex-army man with a good record and a wound disability. I'm afraid you are misinformed.
You?
It is ill-mannered to refuse to hear a man when he politely offers to introduce himself. Ill-mannered and foolish. My name is Salah, yes. But it is Khalid, not Yassin. Salah Khalid. I'm sure you have heard of it.
My God.
Lewis Prescott. As a senior foreign correspondent for the Post-Tribune syndicated news service, I'm based in Paris. 2 months before the Green Circle incident, as everybody later called it, I came here, to Beirut. At that time, nobody'd heard of Michael Howell or Green Circle. Then I saw Melanie Hamad across the St. George's Hotel carpet, half Paris lovely in a cloud of Chanel No. 5, half torpedo heading for my ship. Little off your usual beat, aren't you?
This is my home. Don't you know that I'm an Arab?
I knew that you were from the Lebanon. You used to say that in Paris.
Here. I am an Arab first and Lebanese second.
Muslim or Christian?
Well, my parents are Maronite Christians, so I suppose I am too. At present, I am with the Palestinian Action Force, Salah Khalid.
Khalid? Something of a gangster, I've heard.
My usual Zionist propaganda.
I've heard he's an interesting character.
I could arrange for you to see him.
And come back in one piece?
Of course.
Without being purified, or whatever he calls sorting out his enemies.
Zionist lies.
I thought half the businessmen in the Fertile Crescent paid up because he'd sort out their wives and daughters if they didn't.
His reputation is as a criminal extortionist.
It was necessary to deal with the traitors from the great betrayal in Jordan. It was a means to an end.
Does he really believe he's serving the Palestinian cause with this purification racket of his?
Why not ask him?
Would it be exclusive?
Of course.
So, Khaled wants to come out of the woodwork.
Since he left the PLO and started his own group, he's been underground most of the time. The Jordanians put a price on his head, and the PLO tried to persuade the Syrians to crack down on him. Yes, he would welcome an interview. There will, of course, be certain conditions.
What conditions?
The interview will not be published until 2 days after it had taken place. Security, you understand. And there can be no photographs taken.
Accepted. And what else?
The interview must be tape recorded.
I take notes.
Salah will wish it recorded.
Very well.
I will supply 2 recorders.
2?
You also must have an identical record.
I don't need one.
That will be Salah's wish.
We'd met at the museum. Too many people knew me at the hotel. Then we hit the road up to the Shouf. Everybody thinks of Beirut as a city, but it's a village under the most beautiful mountains in the world.
Mamnu al dukhul.
Min masul annak? Ana bawajik.
What was all that about?
We've entered the military zone. Because this is near the Israeli and Syrian borders, the army polices the area. You see how it is. Those cowards in Beirut use the army to oppress the Fedayeen.
It didn't look very oppressive to me.
Oh, they know me in the car. I come this way to my father's chalet.
Is that where we're going?
Only until it is time to rendezvous elsewhere.
Can we have the heater on? You didn't tell me I might need a top coat.
There are coats at the chalet you can use.
The chalet proved to be a sizable house with wonderful views towards the Golan Heights. Servants to welcome us and sandwiches, and a well-stocked bar.
I know it is early for dinner, but we shall get nothing to eat where we're going.
Which is where?
There is a village 2 kilometers from here, and above it an old fort. That is the rendezvous. What will you drink?
Can I say the interview took place in an old fort near the Syrian frontier?
Of course. There are dozens of them in the mountains here. You could call it a ruined crusader castle, if you like.
Why?
It would sound more romantic.
Is it a ruined crusader castle?
No, it was built by Muslims.
Then it's an old fort. Thanks, I'll have a scotch.
Fine. Now, tell me what you're going to ask Comrade Salah.
The fort was an ugly ruin. The stone archway entrance had collapsed, and we had to fight our way in through the scrub. Then there was an Arab in a black bull cape waiting. He waved me forward with the lantern he carried. She went ahead.
I will go first. Give me the recorders and wait here.
The Arab had stubble, very bad teeth, and worse breath. Then there was a wave of a torch. I clambered up. Inside there was more rubble and then a clearing. There was a lean-to hut. Some local goat herd must have built it. They waved me into the hut. The only light was a kerosene lamp.
Mr. Prescott, I am permitted to present to you the commander of the Palestinian Action Force, Comrade Salah Khaled.
Good evening, Mr. Prescott. It is good of you to make this journey. Please sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Khaled. I'm glad of this opportunity of meeting you.
I regret that I'm unable to offer you coffee here, but perhaps you'll accept a glass of arak and a cigarette.
Mr. Khaled does not normally, of course, drink alcohol, but he's not bigoted in these matters, and as this is a private occasion, he will join you in a glass of Syrian arak.
I am told Syrian arak is the best kind.
If you will say something into the microphones, we can begin.
It is an honor to be received by Mr. Khaled.
Now, to order Kabir, Mr. Prescott.
It is gracious of Mr. Prescott to say so. Interview of the commander and leader of the Palestinian Action Force, Salah Khaled, by Louis Prescott, correspondent of the American Post Tribune News Service Syndicate, meeting in the Republic of Lebanon on...
It was the goddamn 14th of May I met him. So, that's how it was with Howell. He doesn't like reporters. And he brought most of the Green Circle crap on himself.
Sounds kind of weird. Going into dry battery manufacturing with a gang of crooks like the Syrians. How did he expect anyone to believe him?
Khaled was clever. Howell didn't know anything of his plans or intentions. Maybe the Syrians didn't either.
Sure, sure.
Run the tape. Listen to what he says.
Mr. Khaled, you seem to have devoted all your adult life to fighting on the Palestinian side in your Arab-Israeli conflict.
The Arab-Zionist conflict?
Yes. Most of the fighting on your part having been with guerrilla forces?
Not all, but most.
Yes. Even when the armies of the Arab states, Egypt, Jordan, Syria, have not been engaged, you have continued to fight?
Yes.
Even when there's been peace?
There has never been peace between the Arab states and the Zionists.
And when the farmers were able to cross into Israel?
Peace at any price was never acceptable to us Palestinians, Mr. Prescott. With or without allies in the Arab states, we Fedayeen have always fought on.
But what do you think you've accomplished by doing so, Mr. Khaled? To put the question another way, what do you think has been the main achievement of the guerrilla movement?
It has ensured that the Palestine cause has not been forgotten.
You say the Palestine cause. What, in your view, is the Palestine cause?
Justice.
Could you be more specific?
First, the destruction of the Zionist state. Note, please, I do not ask for the destruction of the Jews, only the dismemberment of the artificially created Zionist state. Second, the return of all Palestinian refugees to their lost lands. Third, the establishment of a Palestine Arab state, and nothing less.
But all that's been achieved is Israeli expansion. The Palestine cause may not be forgotten, Mr. Khaled, but as you present and define it, do you not think it may reasonably be considered lost?
Considered lost by whom? The United States government?
Disappointed.
You're a journalist, Melanie. You should know there's no story in what he gave me.
No story.
Melanie, look at it professionally. Khaled moved out of the mainstream of the Palestinian movement when he formed the PAF and denounced the PLO and Al-Fatah. He's little more than a gangster now. So he's trying to talk his way back into the headlines with all this crackpot stuff about blowing Israel out of the water single-handed.
That's not what he said.
Now, Punchy has been still kidding himself he's fit enough for a championship bout. Now, tell me you take him seriously.
I can, and I do.
Nonsense.
It is not nonsense.
Sorry, Melanie, I think it is.
That is because you do not know what is being planned.
And you do?
A little, yes.
That was the first thing I wanted to find out. I went on needling her. She got me back to Beirut in time for a late breakfast. When I had showered and changed, I went to the bureau office. Frank Edwards was there and expectant. I'm not filing yet on Khaled.
No story?
I don't think Melanie Hamad knows as much as she thinks she knows. I think the PAF is going to strike inside Israel, to put it on the map. Then Cairo would have to take notice. Yeah,
something showy inside Israel would certainly give him a leg up.
But why does he want to draw attention to the Haifa area?
Because that is almost certainly where the operation is not taking place.
Sounds far-fetched to me. I was wrong, of course, about all this. Inexcusably wrong. But I had allowed my personal dislike of Khaled to influence my judgment.
Now, Mr. Howell, Miss Melandra, you'll answer my questions. First, why are you here and who and what sent you?
I came here to confirm suspicion.
What suspicion?
That Issa was doing what in fact he is doing, making explosives.
Who told you?
Nobody told me, I guessed.
You expect me to leave that?
I know my business, Mr. Khaled. I know which chemicals are needed in the laboratory and which are not. I can also read an invoice.
The invoices for the special chemicals were always destroyed.
I asked Beirut for duplicates.
Why? What made you ask?
Invoices have to be paid, whether the paperwork is destroyed or not. The lab bills were far too high.
Is that the truth?
That's the truth.
When did you make the discovery about the chemicals?
This evening.
Did you tell anyone else?
There's no one else to tell.
You are interested in Issa's work. Well, let me tell you, we're not concerned with bomb making, but production of detonators of certain kind and in quantity. Lacking the proper apparatus, our method is little primitive. You follow me?
I follow.
Some of our so-called friends, especially in Cairo, have been sabotaging our supplies. That, Mr. Howell, is where you come in, and Miss Melandra. So, please report here at this time tomorrow night, without fail. جبرك عليهم هذول أصدقاء.
هذا يا رفيق.
كامريد, is this a good idea?
مش راح أتراجع عن هذا هو. You and this woman here must become loyal and committed members of the Palestine Action Force and subject to its discipline.
But we are foreigners.
Other foreigners have been granted membership. Foreigners of both sexes. They consider themselves honored to serve. Honored.
It's very unexpected.
You're not a Jew, nor is Miss Melandra. There is therefore no obstacle. There are Christian Palestinians who are loyal to the cause, and it's perfectly possible to take the oath in Christian form. The oath of loyalty can be administered now. Do you keep a Bible in your office?
No.
It's not necessary. Now raise your right hand. I swear by the Holy Trinity and the Holy Book of Antioch.
I swear by the Holy Trinity and the Holy Book of Antioch.
That of my own free will.
That of my own free will.
And with a whole heart and without inner reservation.
And with a whole heart and without inner reservation.
I pledge my life and property in the service of the Palestinian Action Force.
I pledge my life and property in the service of the Palestinian Action Force.
Do you swear this?
I swear it.
Congratulations, comrades. It is now proper for you to address me as Comrade Salah.
Thank you, Comrade Salah.
Until tomorrow night, then.
What are we going to do?
Not speak to the police, that's for sure.
We'd end up in one of Colonel Shikra's interrogation rooms. No, thank you.
No.
Creepy being a PAF member. I wonder who the other foreign members are of both sexes.
One of the women is almost certainly Melanie Hamad.
Oh, she writes about bras and kaftans in her fashion mag. She does not make explosives.
In our works. Don't you realize how dangerous it all is?
It's no use getting upset. You will think of a way around the situation. You always do.
It can only last a short time. Then he will kill us. We know too much. There's no way we can survive.
Unless
we prepare to run for it.
Anyway, we must go and see him.
Good evening, comrades.
Good evening, comrades.
This is Comrade Tawfiq. This is Comrade Wasfi. They are Central Committee members. Now, we have much work to do. First, the matter of detonators, those for electric firing. Comrade Issa.
We have powder for 500, Comrade Salah. Samples have been tested in the laboratory and are satisfactory.
Comrade Tawfiq?
The copper tubes have been ordered, but are not yet delivered, Comrade.
Why not?
I mean, they are supply hands. They were promised last week and the week before.
Perhaps Comrade Michael can help us. What is required?
Who are the suppliers?
Wazarian metals.
There is a special government quota number on non-ferrous metal purchases. Was it quoted with the order?
I do not know, comrade.
Why not? You must press for early delivery.
Yes, comrade Salah.
And other supplies?
One or two delays, comrade.
Tell us.
The chrome nickel wire.
And what is this wire needed for?
Show him, comrade.
The drawing showed how the detonators were to be made. A 6-centimeter length of 1-centimeter copper tube was to contain 5 grams of mercury fulminate held between plugs of cotton wool. One end of the copper tube was capped with tin. The other had a wax seal holding 2 insulated firing leads. The ends of these 2 leads were in the middle of the fulminate powder, where they were connected by a small loop of fine chrome nickel, shaped rather like an oversized spark plug. Tawfiq could not make the adapter ring without our equipment.
You are very thoughtful, Michael.
Elements of the design cannot be made by hand. The suppliers wrote back saying that the order cannot be filled.
How is this adapter ring to be made?
There's only one way to make it, on a screw-cutting lathe.
You have this machine?
No, comrade.
Then you must obtain it.
That is impossible.
Why?
Government permission has to be obtained for all machine tool purchases. It would take weeks. Besides, it is unnecessary.
You have just said it is essential.
If I needed this part, I would subcontract the job to a machine shop in Beirut.
That is out of the question on security grounds.
There is no security problem. We do not say what the part is for. It could be for anything, a washing machine or a wheelbarrow. The subcontractor is not interested anyway. Beirut businessmen are only interested in anything they can eat, drink, or sleep with.
The draftsman would have to know what the adapter is for.
I can do the drawing myself.
Issa, show him.
I take this as one of the wrong size fuses.
Yes.
Have you one of the right size?
Why?
I assume when the fuse has been inserted, it has to be tightened with a wrench.
Yes, that is done just before firing.
You realize that with a plain adapter ring, it will not work. It could fracture it. The bomb will not go off, metaphorically.
We need something better, but it is difficult for us.
Not really. Turning the flange is easy. The difficult part is cutting the threads. But I must have the right fuse to measure in order to make the imitation.
That is the right fuse.
It was practically the same as the wrong one. The only basic difference was in the diameter of the threaded section.
You are very thorough.
This is well to be certain. If I'm not thorough, the adapter ring will not work, and I will be blamed.
No, no, no. It is pride that drives you, not fear or loyalty to our cause.
No!
Remember, we have cells in Latakia, Alexandria, ports you often use. I can ruin your business. One small bomb in a hold and you will never get Lloyd's insurance again at a price you can afford.
I prefer to think of our important work for the cause. The day after tomorrow, I shall have the drawing finished.
And how long to make the rings?
A week should be sufficient to make 100.
Very well, proceed. And we will complete the membership formalities. I want you both to sign these papers. Read them carefully, both of you, first.
I, Teresa Malandra, a British citizen resident in the Democratic Socialist Republic of Syria, and subject to its laws in all respects, do hereby confess, freely and of my own will, to having transgressed those laws by illegally transporting arms and explosives for the use and on the orders of the Zionist Secret Intelligence Service. Why do we have to do this?
All comrades sign confessions. In that way, all feel safe.
I must say, Comrade Salah, this confession does not make me feel safe.
By the way, Comrade, I think there is something you should know. You said last night that there were to be no changes to be made here, that there would be no dismissals, and that you would continue to use the headquarters.
What of it?
I'm afraid the matter will shortly be taken out of my hands. This place has been running at a loss for months. We will be modifying the building.
He is lying. I know nothing of these plans.
Comrade Eason knows nothing about a great many things.
Why did you say nothing to me about this last night?
I'm only talking about a time limit.
How many weeks?
That will be for the minister, Dr. Howard, to decide. But I'm afraid I already gave my opinion to him several weeks ago, before we met. This whole area will become a building site.
You play your slippery little businessman tricks on me.
I am merely trying to be open with you, not to play tricks. As I said, all this happened weeks ago.
Anyway, this is not all I wish to discuss with you. Your company owns a motor ship that carries mixed cargoes between 5 ports of call, from Augusta, Iskandaron, Latakia, Alexandria, and Beirut. Am I right?
Yes.
And the captain acts on your orders?
He acts on our agent's orders. I don't give orders personally.
But you could do so if there was some feasible commercial justification for it. She will be required to take on 4 passengers in Latakia.
We do not carry passengers. And on that coast, no Agence Howell ship would take the smallest risk. In particular, we take the greatest care not to enter territorial waters.
They would not need to do so. The course would. Take him out of normal shipping lanes for about 2 hours, nothing more.
I think I have a better ship with a Tunisian captain who will not question a change of orders.
It doesn't matter, so long as it is an iron ship.
The reason why Michael is so difficult to understand, especially for journalists, is that he is not one person, but a committee of several. Levanters are like that. There is the Greek money changer with fingers across the abacus, and the brooding, apparently slow-witted Armenian bazaar trader, who is the most devious person alive. And then the stuffy, no-nonsense Englishman trained as an engineer. And the others... too many to mention.
There. I think the drawings are ready. Any messages?
No. I must say, they have been fast.
No more enthusiastic adherent to the cause of the Palestinian Action Force to be found in the Middle East than in this office. Now, we better send the fuse adapter drawings to the Beirut machine people.
Oh, very well. But the ship...
I know. Why do you think I don't sleep? But I think I can see how to do it now.
How?
On July 2nd, the Amelia Howell, 4,000 tons, Captain Touzani in charge, will sail, not necessarily in ballast, from Latakia in Syria, bound for Alexandria in Egypt. But the temporary withdrawal of her deratization exemption certificate will hold her in port for at least 3 days.
And?
And when released, she sails down corner to pick up a cargo bound for Latakia. Tell Issa to pass the news on. No details, just the name of the ship. A sample ring will be in our hands Monday next. Khalid will want to see it. Request orders. We want to be seen to appear to cooperate fully. 100%.
Michael, I've been thinking.
Yes?
About those confessions we signed.
What about them?
We're both supposed to have been in touch with the Israeli intelligence service, Mossad.
Standard incriminatory stuff. Mandatory death sentence.
They gave the name of an Israeli intelligence agent in Cyprus.
I know. Zev Barlev.
Well, why don't we get in touch with him? He must exist or they would not have named him.
He hasn't been in Nicosia for 6 months. There was a little trouble. He was blown.
He must have been replaced by now. Famagusta could find out about the replacement.
You make it sound very easy. But let's say, for the purposes of your argument, that they find out the replacement. One of us gets in touch with them. Is that your idea?
Yes, as they say, we've already been in touch with Barlev. Why shouldn't we be in touch with his successor?
And be hanged for a fact instead of a fantasy?
I was hoping to avoid hanging. I assume you are too. Among other things I'm hoping to avoid is any responsibility, direct or moral, for what Hallard is planning. You say we cannot go to the authorities here. In the case of Colonel Shikla and the Internal Security Service, I accept. We know now Hallard has ISS sympathizers. But there are others who would listen to us. Shikla has enemies who would be glad of a chance to embarrass him.
And do you think Shikla would not know that we were responsible?
Oh, yes. It would be bad for business. Poor Agence Howard.
That is unfair. It has nothing to do with business, but with personal safety.
We could demand protection.
When Khalid has given Shikla our confessions and they are sitting on his desk? Really, Teresa, how long have you been in the Middle East?
Very well. So we have a choice. We run away or we sabotage Khalid without his knowing it. And since we cannot run...
I accept sabotage so long as there is no personal risk.
And the Israelis?
Do you think I haven't already considered the prospect of contact with them? Of course I have.
Well, then?
All right. Suppose you're going to meet an Israeli agent tonight. It's all been arranged. Cutouts, dead letterbox, a safe house, everything. But what are you going to tell them?
What we know.
Nothing. That Khalid is planning operations against them. They know that. That he's got arms, rockets, no need for them.
And an anniversary day in Israel is coming. Tammuz 20, the founder of Zionism's Day.
I know. And we tell them that Khalid's ship will be outside Israeli territorial waters with 500 electrically operated detonators that were made in our factory. I know. And do you know what he will say? What any good government agency will say? Thank you very much, Miss Malandra. Here's the price of a new dress, or a more or less insulting amount of money. But if you want a lot more, go and find out what the plot really is. You see? You don't yet know enough to be useful. Why then run the risk of making this dangerous contact? Why not wait until the information you have makes the risk worth taking? Why take useless chances?
He went to see a man called Eli Abuti. He was a contractor who had built the electrical plant. He was, well, a lady would say, completely unscrupulous. He had cheated us to a fantastic profit on work he had done for us before.
My dear friend, I'm most happy to tell you that I see a chance, a good chance, of our being able to work together again.
I'm delighted to hear it, my dear friend. Delighted.
Have you still got Rushdie working for you?
Yes, he's my right-hand man.
Good. Can he be made available with the survey team next week? Because I want to move into this site without competition. There is an Italian interest involved.
I was at the meeting, but I was lost by then. I saw him the next day. How are you going to get the directive?
Somehow.
From Hawa?
Who else? Sorry, Teresa. I'm afraid it means having him to dinner. I know you hate it.
No. I think, though, that Dr. Hauer is ambivalent on the subject of female emancipation.
It's not that. But he's an Arab, and he feels more at ease in all-male company. And he likes to drink alcohol. And in private company, he can do so.
Sometimes, on these occasions in the past, I did what Muslim women do in their homes. Listen through one of the wall grills the Ottomans had invented for this purpose. But the talk was usually so boring, I shut the grill and left them to it. This time, though, I was determined not to miss a word.
Oh, come on, Michael.
The Agence Howl has offices in a great many places. You hear things governments don't. Even governments as well informed as the Syrian government.
I am sorry. The truth is, I'm not quite myself this evening. You see, I'm worried.
A new woman, eh? That must be it. You Christians make such fools of yourselves.
No. A business worry.
Oh?
The empty factory near Tripoli. 6,200 square meters of floor space and of recent construction.
It was planned for production of business machines, but there were licensing difficulties with the American parent company, and it all fell through.
Yes. The buildings have never been used and are going for nothing. They're not ideal for lead battery production, and changes would have to be made. The floor space is there and waiting. But the Italians are waiting to swoop, like eagles.
You know this for a fact?
They're sending a senior manager and engineer from Milan this week to inspect the place. What I need from you is a directive. It should cover our occupation of 3 hectares of land and joining the present battery works. The directive should further authorize the Abuti company to make a survey and carry out preparatory works necessary for the building. I cannot tell you, Minister, how much I would appreciate your help in all this.
Michael, you and your business ethic, you can't bear to lose. Well, if it makes you sleep any better tonight, bring me a draft directive to my office tomorrow.
Thank you again, Minister. More brandy?
Mm-hmm.
Backgammon?
Thank you.
They played for hours. I saw Michael next morning. This empty factory near Tripoli, does it actually exist?
Oh, yes. A white elephant. Quite useless for manufacturing anything. When the price is low enough, we may buy it for a warehouse.
And these Italians, do they exist?
Of course. Vaguely. I would offer them a distribution deal. Nice people.
Oh.
Abuti will need copies of the factory layout plans. He should have it all in the morning.
Are we really going to pay him for all this work?
Pay Abuti? Not a penny. Let the fat slug whistle for his money.
Oh, you, Michael. Not to honor a debt. This must be a serious business. I went with Michael and the survey team to the dry battery works. When work started later that week, what do you think Hallett will do?
Not much. A few men with theodolites and measuring chains won't disturb him much.
But he was wrong. The call from Easter came at 4:30 that afternoon.
Where is Howell?
I don't know, but I expect him back soon. I can ask him to return your call.
No. Give him this message. You will both report here at 8 o'clock tonight.
Mr. Howell may have made other arrangements.
Then he will cancel them.
Michael was thoughtful when I told him.
The directive. There was nothing about the Agence Howell paying Abuti, was there?
His costs are charged to Green Circle. Issa won't know it's not the government. And Khaled will think the same.
Come in, Comrade Khaled.
What do you know of this?
Of what, Comrade? May I see? For these papers?
Yes.
Well, I did warn you of this possibility.
And at the same time, you were warned to prevent it. Why did you not obey?
I cannot give orders to the ministry. Now, this directive orders a survey to be made of this and adjacent land in accordance with an earlier policy decision. Ah, I see the difficulty. An access road is to be engineered.
You will use your influence with the ministry to see this does not take place.
Yes, comrade, I hear you. But unfortunately, although I hear, I am not omnipotent, comrade, any more than you are. The ability to hear an unrealistic order is no indication that the hearer can carry it out.
Do you remember the oath you swore?
Of course, comrade Salah.
Miss Melandra, do you believe your employer has remembered his oath?
Of course. In fact, I believe he has seriously neglected his own business interests in order to do so.
When did your employer last see Dr. Hawa?
A few days ago in the evening.
And he told you nothing about this directive?
No business was discussed. As I said, when I first raised the question, the policy decision about the works had already been made. These things cannot be done by edict, or not by my edict anyway, in Syria. The explanation is presumably that as the Agence Howell is not a principal in this affair, it was not thought necessary to consult us before issuing the directive.
Very well. Pending my own inquiries, I will accept your explanation for your failure. But for your disrespect, there can be no excuse. Come with me. I warned you before against your arrogance.
No disrespect was intended, Comrade Salah.
So you will not be hurt too much. Comrade Issa, are you ready for the demonstration?
Yes, all is prepared.
I thought they were going to torture him, and I would have to watch. So the silly little musical box on the table in the middle of the room was reassuring. By it was a Pakistani International Airlines flight bag. It looked incongruous by that nice old mahogany antique.
Does it still play, comrade?
Certainly it plays. Enough, enough. We must conserve the spring. Now pick that up.
The airline bag?
Yes.
If you say so, comrade sir.
I say so.
Then I'm glad to be of assistance.
And walk that way with it. Over there.
Comrade, we do not know exactly what...
Which is why we need to test it on a moving target.
It really is not necessary for the target to move.
That is for me to decide. Walk out of here slowly. Get ready.
Ready, comrade.
All right, now. Now!
It was grotesque. 5 minutes after the punishment, Hallett was swabbing his burn like a nurse.
I have practiced as a doctor in my time in Cairo. And on worse wounds than this, I can tell you. Asa, put the machine in the store now.
Yes, comrade.
There. No alcohol tonight. A warm drink and a barbiturate for sleep.
Very well. What was in the bag, Comrade Salah?
Haven't you guessed?
Some of Issa's detonators, presumably. What fired them?
The wound should feel easier tomorrow. But it may need a fresh dressing. And if it does not heal, you know how to communicate with me. I, too, like to play backgammon.
I'm delighted to hear that, Comrade Salah.
And perhaps better than Dr. Hauer. Does he win, or do you?
I am perhaps more lucky than skillful. I enjoy Fabga.
Ah, the Greek tradition of play.
The form began in the days of the Greek emigration.
And are you a cautious player?
Almost never.
Good. There is no sport in cautious play. Goodbye, Mr. Howe.
Cheers, in defiance of doctor's orders.
Cheers.
Can you write a note?
Mm.
The weapon that Khalid intends to use against the Israelis is an explosive package consisting of 2 kilos of high explosive,
mm-hmm.
detonated electrically by a system of remote radio control. The quantity of detonators available to him is in the hundreds.
How will they be detonated?
I don't know much about electronics. Tell me, when I started walking, what did they do with the musical box?
There was a whine. The sound went much higher.
I think it's obvious. There's a high-frequency oscillator in it which trips electronic relays wired to the detonators in the bag. I saw the burnt-up remains of it afterwards, like a small transistor radio.
I see.
Now, put this down.
Mm-hmm.
A range of system is unknown. Demonstration was only about 100 meters range. But the relay was tripped several seconds before full oscillating power was achieved. With a thick concrete wall between the oscillator and the relay. So effective range may be measured in kilometers. And I need samples of this component, whatever we're short of.
Yes.
Check the electronic component stock sheets in the morning.
And about the directive?
I think we know enough to make sense now. I think it's time we stuck our necks out. Now let's go to bed.
Shall I get you some codeine?
Aspirin will do. 3 days later, I went to Cyprus. First to Famagusta, and then to Nicosia. I was a fool, I admit it. The trouble was that by putting sufficient pressure on Khalid to make him do stupid things, I was making insufficient allowance of the pressure he was putting on me. It was Teresa's point about the business. Agence Howell isn't like a street corner shop. You can't just put up the shutters and walk away, even if you want to. Even if you don't mind putting a 3-generation concern in the Middle East part of the park into the gutter, which I did. I'm not going to tell you how I got in touch with Israeli intelligence in Cyprus. I'm hoping the Israelis will be gracious enough to acknowledge publicly that I did so. The risks Teresa and I ran to avoid an impending terrorist attack were considerable. I don't see why they should be so mean about it. I mean, even a very cool and distant nod of recognition would help. But I will record that although I'm not going to give a description of Barlett's successor, which would enable him to be blown, he was patronizing when not offensive and thoroughly disagreeable. We met in a house near Nicosia.
You guessed right. It's from a rocket. The 120mm Katyusha. 50-kilo warheads. All the terrorists have them. Good for hit and run work.
Where do they come from?
There is a thing called the black market, Mr. Howell. Let's go back to the ship business.
My private orders to the captain, Captain Tuzani, will contain quite a lot of discretion. I hope the course Khaled dictates will make it easy to get into the Haifa area. But if it doesn't work and the ship gets to within 10 miles of Tel Aviv, your people will have to be ready to take instant action. What's the range of the Tel Aviv coast radar? 15? 16 miles?
About that.
You'll have to be prepared to intercept in that range.
Yes. Now, about communications.
I'll put it through our Famagusta office.
Don't you know Colonel Shikla's people monitor everything you send out?
I could make a change of course look like a price quotation.
Thank you, Panky. Mistakes are possible. I'd sooner you use Miss Malandra.
How?
Put her on the plane to Rome with it. She goes to the family loyals there often enough.
How did you know that?
She always stays at the Four Motel, right? We'll make contact with her there.
Suppose I don't get the information. Suppose there's some last-minute change of plan.
Send her to tell us. Same routine.
I suppose it gets her out of danger eventually. Though it gives her a dangerous job first.
That's our business, Mr. Howell. Mossad is, I believe, very good at it.
Although I had been away 3 days and had not time to waste, I flew only to Beirut, then went to Damascus by road. This was the way contact with intelligence people had begun to affect me. I started looking over my shoulder, becoming furtive. In their line of work, I wouldn't last 5 minutes. And I didn't want to arrive by air at Damascus without giving Hawa the usual advance notice. He might become suspicious. Although Teresa was the first problem.
You mean to say those rotten Israelis have been prying into my affairs?
They pry into all their enemies' affairs.
I am not their enemy.
Here we are all enemies. Why are women so paranoid about ordinary intelligence agencies' operations? Don't get so cross.
I am cross.
Not too cross. Go to Rome, I hope.
If I have to. But how could they know about private things?
Wills, trust deeds, and public records. They only have to look. Anyway, let's get on with what we have to get on with. What's first and worst?
There is a problem with Easter about night work. Internal security interest. Then Hallett wants to see you.
He comes first. While I ring him, can you get the map out showing the main shipping lane between Latakia and Alexandria? I had not expected to enjoy entertaining Khaled, but I had not been prepared for such a ghastly evening. I wanted to get him into my office.
You have such a beautiful courtyard.
Champagne cocktail?
With plenty of brandy, please. I must say, there's something to be said for capitalist decadence. I will enjoy a tour of the villa.
My family has been in the Levant a long time. We have worked very hard.
And what is this way? Such a beautiful Fagan carpet.
Only offices.
Nothing of interest in Comrade Howell's office?
It was exactly the reaction I had counted on. I hoped my great map would lead him to reveal his course plans. But he saw the ship models, unfortunately.
This is my treasure. My Ottoman map of all the eastern Mediterranean.
Such beautiful model ships.
My father's indulgence.
Fascinating. The history of Levant shipping in one room.
This was my father's design for the company funnel.
Now, which is our ship to be?
This one. The Amelia Howell.
And where will we be? Which will be our windows?
I'm afraid there's no regular passenger accommodation. The saloon has portholes. There.
And the captain? Who will he be?
Captain Tuzani, a Tunisian.
I hope he's loyal.
Very. I will need some information from you.
What?
I want the names of the passengers to be carried. That is required by law and must be entered on the muster roll. Now, let us go down to dinner. A backgammon later was torture. You play the Arabian game.
A reckless game, you mean. You are too cautious. You play like a businessman.
You force me on the defensive, Comrade Salah.
Oh, you must not allow yourself to be forced. You must hit out, reply in kind. If you were a front fighter, you would soon learn when to attack and when to hold your fire, when to assault and when to ambush. Now, you're asking me about orders for the ship.
Ah, British Admiralty chart, no less.
As far as Caesarea Parel, it is normal. Then here, there is a 20-degree swing to the east, as far as the 100-fathom line. Then again here, we run parallel to the coast on 190-degree, heading for 12 miles.
On 190-degree south, heading from 2115 hours until 2300 hours. Ship speed is on no account to exceed 6 knots.
Clear.
Thank you, comrade. I'm not a trained navigator, but it looks clear to me.
Just see that the captain understands that he is to obey these orders strictly.
Yes, Comrade Salah. He will have to choose his own sailing time, however. The port of Latakia prohibits all movement of shipping between sunset and sunrise. Embarkation should take place before sunset on the 2nd, so that departure can be very early on the 3rd.
Good. Then I will thank you for your hospitality and ask you to drive me back. Before I can sleep, there is work to be done. You asked for a list of the ship's extra passengers?
Yes, Comrade Salah.
Then you had better report tomorrow night at 8:30. I will give you the names then.
Thank God he's gone. Is everything you wanted on that chart?
I think it's all there. I hope it is.
I think he's insane.
Insane? It's not the only word I would use.
So, you think we've got the information?
Looks like it. The written instructions and the track in ink exactly correspond. If the Israelis can do their stuff, they will have to do so outside the territorial waters. I don't know. There's a second track as well. No, it's been half rubbed out.
Is there a plane to Rome tomorrow?
Alitalia.
Do you want me to try for a place?
You get a place. Speak to Fauzi. Tomorrow send the cables you would usually send to the hotel and to your lawyer.
What about one to Famagusta?
I'll send that when you're on your way. And I don't want you back here until after July the 3rd.
Suppose Halad gets suspicious.
Then I'll send a cable telling you to come back. You answer that you're taking the next plane, but you don't.
Oh, I don't like it.
I'll have one less thing to worry about.
Oh, a thing!
Your being involved is a thing. That's all I meant.
Teresa left for Rome the following day. It was lonely in the villa without her. I drafted the warning cable for Famagusta and the form agreed for Barlett's successor and gave it to the clerk. That was the vital thing. But there was plenty of time. It was a heavy night when I got to the battery works.
Ah, Comrade Michael, good evening. No Miss Melandra?
She has business in Rome.
You didn't tell me.
There was no occasion to do so. Her father's estate. She was left some land which is being sold, I think.
You mean she's rich?
There is some money. I don't know how much, Comrade Salah.
Well, she shall tell us when she returns. Understand that in future, permission for all journeys must be obtained from me.
Yes, Comrade Salah.
Now, you wanted a passenger list? Here it is.
One question I must ask, Comrade Salah.
What? You have the list?
Will the papers these persons carry have the same names as those on this list?
Of course. We're not fools. The explosives for the charges, for instance. They had to be obtained and taken across the border into Israel. Not easy at all. Then the charges have to be assembled and planted secretly in the chosen places. Could you find a solution to these problems? If I order you to obtain 100 aircraft flight bags for all four airlines using Tel Aviv Airport, could you do it?
I would say it was hard. They would have to be stolen.
On the contrary, it all required careful planning and much thought, but they were all obtained legally.
To contain the charges, I suppose.
Naturally. In all these crowded hotels, what could be more innocent than an airline bag?
I thought that all flight bags were searched at Tel Aviv.
Yes. Obviously, they are not carried by arriving passengers. They are already in the country. Can you see any weaknesses?
No, none.
But problems do occur. There is another matter you can help us with. You know what a Roas coaster is?
Indeed. Agence Howell owns 3.
We have the use of one of these vessels. They are used to bring in supplies from the north. Ours has engine trouble.
What kind of engine is it?
Solza.
From Switzerland? The best.
It has a defective fuel pump and other problems. We need skilled help.
Where's it berthed?
At Harrisun.
It'll be hard to find a good diesel fitter in a scruffy little port like that.
So what do you propose?
I have a good man at Latakia. Take the vessel there under sail.
The ship cannot be moved. This man must go to Harrisun and do the work.
It may be possible, it may not.
Remember, I have people in Latakia. He will oblige us. I want you to see Comrade Hadaya, the ship's master. Report the situation to me tomorrow.
So, the following morning, I drove to grotty little Harrisun. I'd forgotten how small Ruard schooners were. 70 feet on the waterline isn't much, and the high stem and massive bowsprit made it seem even less. And she must have been 40 years old, with faded yellow letters on her bow. J-E-B-L-E, Jebla. The name of her home port and Arabic letters Hamsa, number 5 out of Jebla. She was lying low enough in the water to suggest she had a full load aboard. The person I could see on deck was not the fisherman type.
Mr. Hadaya?
Mr. Howell? Yes. Just a moment, please. Let me move this ladder. A little inconvenient, I'm afraid, but we don't encourage visitors.
That's all right.
Would you like to see the engine problem or hear about it?
Hear about it, I think.
I think the timing is all wrong.
What about the owners? Can't they help you?
Comrade Salah is the owner. It was bought to sheep and has never been maintained properly.
I am sending a man down from Latakia tomorrow, but I'll take the type and serial number of the engine to give him.
Damn, lost it.
These timbers, I'm sorry. They are new.
My fault. What are they for? Big timbers.
Oh, deck the cargo.
I could see it at last. The second track on the chart. The same speed. 6 knots. The sort of deck cargo Jebla could not possibly need a length of 4x4 to support it. I remembered what Barlev's successor had told me about the 120mm rocket and its heavy launcher. They would drop it all overboard when they had finished. And what Khaled had said. Jebla 5 was of all wooden construction. It wouldn't show up on the radar screen. The Katyusha range was 11 kilometers. From 10 kilometers, a single firing could do a lot of damage in Tel Aviv. But how was I to let Barlev's successor know? I had to see Khaled. There was only one way.
Impossible!
You said you were always tolerant of any error when freely confessed.
There's no question of it. You must speak to the captain.
He is an obstinate man.
I have comrades who will make him cooperate.
He will oppose any change of orders, unless...
What?
Unless I am on board to order him, as owner of the ship, to do what we need.
I don't like it.
Without the captain's cooperation, I can guarantee nothing.
All right. There are always problems with Tunisians.
After talking so much rubbish, I was exhausted. But late that night, I drafted 2 cables. The first was to Teresa, ordering her to take charge of the office in my absence. She would ignore it, but it was for Colonel Schickler's eyes only. And this was to our Famagusta office. Instructed Melandra, return immediately. Take charge during my absence. Taking passage in Amelia to Alexandria, sailing July 2nd. Advise Alexandria office. Confirm Melandra. Acknowledge Howell. They would think I'd gone raving mad in Famagusta. But Barlev's successor would understand what was happening. For him, my sudden change of mind could only mean that the situation had radically changed in some way and that additional precautions were now necessary. I had done the best I could. Speaking to Captain Tuzani was a waste of time. He had rightly worked out that the trouble his ship had had in Tripoli was contrived, but he had not been able to work out why.
I tell you, it was a funny business. I was there. Nobody had his hand out. Nobody was saying anything. Nobody knew anything. Then it was over. Suddenly. A mistake? with nobody having been paid?
Somebody was paid, Captain. You can be sure of that. There was a new cog in the machinery. It had been overlooked. Once it was greased, all was well. These things happen.
But these things keep happening, Mr. Howell. That I do not like. And Mr. Morad now informs me that this ship is to carry passengers to Alex.
That is the main reason I'm here to see you, Captain. About the passengers. And what he did not tell you is that I will be one of them.
Is this a voyage of inspection, Mr. Howell?
I don't make voyages of inspection, as you very well know. I said I needed help, and I meant it.
I'm sorry if I offend you.
You must be aware of the close but covert relationship that exists between some government agencies and the Palestinian Liberation Movement. No minister, no ministry is completely immune from their pressure, however powerful. Neither is Agence Howell. You follow me?
Of course.
So if I'm asked to change the routing of a ship and carry extra passengers, I do not argue. I think the consequences of refusal would be unpleasant.
They dare not threaten you, dogs.
But with sharp teeth.
What do they want?
Look at the chart here. That's what they want.
Why 6 knots?
I don't know, Captain. I assume there's to be a rendezvous with a vessel from the Israeli coast.
To take off passengers? No. There is no position here for that. Instead, we have to steam at 6 knots for almost 2 hours. Who are the passengers?
Palestinian Fedayeen. That much is certain. The leader is said to be an important man called Yassin.
Will they be armed?
Probably. No, all you need to do is change course without informing the passengers. Opposite Caesarea, as indicated, and steer no closer than 10 miles from the Israeli coast. So we missed the rendezvous.
I thought you said these dogs had teeth.
With the luck, they will believe the shore boat was at fault.
Will you issue handguns to my officers?
I'll bear it in mind.
To be honest, I believe you are not telling me all you know, but for my own good. But pride is a bad counselor, Mr. Howell. And now perhaps we should talk about accommodation for these passengers, or lack of it. You will have my sleeping cabin, Mr. Howell.
That's kind of you, but I don't think I shall be doing much sleeping. It's the 4 Palestinians I'm concerned about. I should like the leader, Yassin, to be given a temporary cabin of some sort amidships and have the other 3 forward or aft. It might become necessary to isolate them. But don't worry about my pride, Captain. There's much more than that involved here.
Good. Because pride is a bad counselor, Mr. Howell, as I said before.
On the evening of July the 1st, I reported to Khaled at the battery factory. It was the last time I was to do so. They were sitting in a circle. There seemed to have been some sort of mishap.
But if we were through the night, Comrade Salah, we could make good at least part of the loss.
No. You must learn, when we plan, we make provision for things going wrong.
Mistakes.
That is what planning is for. With hasty improvisations, trouble starts. Risks are taken and a small misfortune becomes a major disaster.
But, comrades...
No more argument. Now, here is Michael Howell come to join us. Sit down, please.
Thank you.
A minor mishap. 100 detonators lost to the other side. Meanwhile, I have good news for you. The schooner engine has been tested and is now in excellent running order.
I'm glad, Comrade Salah. My own news is also favorable. Embarkation is fixed for 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. By then, most of the cargo handling should have been completed. We sail early the next morning. There remains the question of transport to Latakia, for you and the other comrades.
Oh, the front fighters are already in our Latakia safe house. I will join them later tonight.
You have transport arranged?
Everything is arranged. And one more thing. Bring 2 bottles of brandy with you.
With pleasure, Comrade Salah.
We must be able to celebrate our victory.
This is the ship?
Yes.
But she's old and filthy, and the paint is coming off. It can't be seaworthy.
You can't judge by outward appearances. Now, come down to the saloon, or the wardroom, to use the old RN term.
Little different from the Howell Villa. I see you don't believe in pampering your officers.
They don't have to be pampered. Now, I must have a word with Captain Tuzani, if you'll excuse me. The older one is Khaled. Yassin, to you.
Ah. I've arranged an aft cabin for him.
And can you organize a discreet search after dinner with their bags?
I think so. The other three will be in the special compartment aft. You know, the one that used to be used for illegal movements of antiquities, huh?
I knew I'd been right in choosing Captain Tuzani. It was a pleasure to introduce him to Khalid Yassin.
Very pleased to meet you, Mr. Yassin.
How do you do?
You are all welcome, most welcome aboard this ship. The weather forecasts are good, so I see no reason why we should not have a smooth and pleasant journey.
We sailed shortly after dawn. I dozed on Tuzani's couch. The results of the search had not been reassuring. Each of the fighters had machine pistols, and Khalid had a Steknik automatic in a webbing holster. And what worried me most of all, a single CB radio set. I asked Tuzani about it.
You're sure there was only one?
Yes. Why?
Because it looks as if Khalid wants to control the whole operation from the Amelia. Now, I need to send a radio message to the office at Famagusta.
The Israelis would be listening in and would understand. Barlev's successor would know that the previous information was incomplete, the routing would change, and that they must be on time to be effective. I was right. The reply said, proceed as planned. Then I started to relax. That was a mistake. The steward arrived.
Mr. Howell, sir.
Mr. Yassin, he's armed.
Oh.
He's wearing a pistol on a belt, sir.
I see.
Shall I tell him to take it off, sir?
No, no. It's perfectly all right.
And there is a message from him, sir. He would like you to come to his cabin.
Thank you, steward.
We arrive in Alexandria tomorrow at what time?
Early afternoon, I expect, Comrade Salah. But with the course changes ahead, it is difficult to say exactly.
My arrival will be kept secret, of course. It must not be known how I have arrived. The press conference I hold will be in Cairo. This will be the text of the press release.
At approximately 2200 hours yesterday, 3rd of July, troops of the Palestinian Action Force under the personal command of their leader, Salah Khalid, launched the most devastating attack yet on the Zionist pseudo-state of Israel. The target selected was... Yes, I see.
Is it in good English?
Yes, it is in good English.
Thank you.
It says here there will be bombardment from the sea. Can that be correct?
Another brandy, please. Yes. That is a surprise I have been keeping from you.
And then he told me about the Jebla 5 attack.
And so our armed passenger is busy getting drunk. As captain of the ship, you cannot expect me to be pleased.
He doesn't get very drunk. Nastier, but not drunk.
And you have no change of plan to propose?
None that hasn't already been discussed.
I take it then that you want me to issue arms to the watch officers.
Yes, and lock the special compartment door. Then they can't arm themselves, although there's nothing we can do about Khalid's automatic. But I expect the situation will change in our favor tonight.
I do hope you know what you are doing, Mr. Howell.
I think I do, Captain.
Good.
We made the first course change when the sun was low in the sky. I told Khalid. He was still drinking, not interested. Tuzani had stuck a large revolver into his belt and was looking the part. Then he called me.
There's another ship out there. She crossed the stern of us a while back, at the sunset behind her. She wouldn't be the ship we're going to rendezvous with, would she?
Why do you ask?
But when we change course next time, we'll be converging. I ask because she is running without lights.
She can see our lights. I think you'll find she'll stay clear.
No rendezvous?
Not with her. Slow to 6 knots and stay 10 miles offshore.
Then why was this radio message received half an hour ago, huh? MV Amelia Howell. Emergency procedure. Steer 170 degrees. You are cleared for Ashdod. Signed, Coast Guard Adara. I demand an explanation. Why in my ship are you getting Israeli navigation instructions from an Israeli Coast Guard station? And why are we cleared for an Israeli port for which we are not bound?
May we look at the chart, Captain?
All right. But I still want an explanation.
We went to the wheelhouse. He laid a ruler across the chart to show me.
There's 170.
On that course, what would our distance be from Tel Aviv when we passed it?
About 6 miles.
What is our present course?
192.
Will you please radio back to Hadera? Say, in my name, that we are not, repeat, not able to carry out this emergency procedure, and that we are compelled to maintain course 192.
That is no explanation.
We are trying to keep out of trouble and keep a lot of other people out of trouble as well. Kindly send a message and mark it urgent.
No, I will not send that message.
Send it, Captain. That is my order as owner of the ship to you as captain.
I left him to it. I had to have time to think. The Coast Guard message could only have been dictated by Mossad in Tel Aviv and was intended to have special meaning for me. But I never had time to think it through. Khaled and the gang, I saw them through a porthole listening to a walkie-talkie in a voice I knew. There was no mistaking the meaning. It was one of his people on the Jebla 5 saying that we were off course. So I bluffed it with him.
Comrade Salah, I've come to tell you that the ship is now on course.
Now? Why not before?
Is that your comrade, Hadaya?
Yes.
He's a seaman. He will understand the position. Captain Tanzani sighted the Jebla 5 at sundown. She was running without lights and on a collision course with this ship. Even the most experienced officers can become confused. Please ask him what course we're steering now, Comrade Salah.
Hey, Masari, نحن الآن. حول. He says the course is 192, but...
Comrade Salah, that is the course called for in your instructions.
We are on the right course, but too far west. We are at least 2 miles west where we should be.
That is impossible. Hadaya must be mistaken.
No.
In a few minutes, I shall be able to take bearings on the Tel Aviv lights. Give me 5 minutes, please, Comrade Salah.
Meanwhile, I shall instruct my group to take up their sidearms.
This was very serious. I could fool him over navigations, but not over a locked door. But then Tuzani appeared as I was trying to talk my way out of the danger zone.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Hull?
I wanted to see you.
What can I do with us, comrade? The room is locked. He's locked the room against us.
Nonsense. The compartment is normally kept locked. I expect the person locked without thinking when he was on his rounds. I will give orders to have it opened.
At once, please, Captain.
We are 3 miles out of position. Over 10 miles offshore, completely out of range.
Are you sure?
We must immediately turn to port and steer 160 immediately. Do you hear that?
Do you think I don't know my own ship's position?
I think you know the position very well. That is why you are going to obey my orders from now on. Steer 160 immediately.
I'm not running my ship aground, so please do.
I am in command of this ship. Up on the bridge.
It was one of Tuzani's men. They were taking no chances. They had heard Khalid's shot. Tuzani was okay. Lucky.
Take it easy. You'll make it. Hold your breath and lie still.
Help! Help!
Here.
It was crazy. But I put all 3 shells into the musical box. Then I found the walkie-talkie.
Hadaya! Hadaya, do you hear me?
Yes. Is that a patrol boat attacking you?
I don't know. But we are stopping. I have orders from Comrade Salah. The operation is cancelled. You understand? You are to jettison the cargo and return to base. You hear?
Why doesn't Comrade Salah speak himself?
He is wounded. But these are his orders. Obey immediately. You hear?
The lieutenant who commanded the Israeli patrol boat was a sharp-eyed, thin-lipped young man with sandy hair and freckles. He'd been briefed. I met him and the boarding party on the aft deck.
Captain Tuzani?
The captain is wounded. My name is Howell.
Ah, the owner. I have to ask you if you have requested assistance from the Navy of Israel.
Yes, I have.
Why?
We were being hijacked by 4 passengers. The one who shot and wounded the captain is dead. Another was wounded himself by the first mate. The man has a gun, but I think he's fired all his ammunition. The other 2 hijackers are loose, but have no firearms.
You called them hijackers, sir. Did these passengers attempt to take over the vessel by force?
They did. And to intimidate the captain and force him to steer a certain course. But they didn't succeed.
Whether they succeeded or not is immaterial. By committing this act on the open sea, these men are pirates, Mr. Howell.
It took only a few minutes to round up the other fighters. They submitted sullenly.
What about the prisoners?
Any nation's vessel arresting pirates on the open sea is entitled to bring them to trial in the courts of that country. As they have been arrested by an Israeli ship, they will go on trial in Israel.
Very well.
We saw what looked like a second ship, a fishing schooner a mile away. I think the sooner we are in Ashdod, the better for everyone, Mr. Howard.
I think we all agree with you there, Lieutenant.
I felt I had to go and see Howell. The Syrian government let all the guns fly. The Israelis had said that smuggling in detonators was a hostile act, and they definitely originated in Syria, with the Green Circle trademark. And the Green Circle factory was owned by Agence Howell. In Damascus, Dr. Howard said that Howell and Green Circle were private businesses that were nothing to do with them. And the Arab press generally, well, it was carnage. Howell had decided to join the Palestinian cause, then had betrayed it for the vilest motives. In his factories he made illegal arms, then sold them to the Fedayeen, whom he later betrayed. And among his known victims was the Palestinian patriot, Salah Khalid. Howell was by his pool in a nice old-money house in Famagusta. He started by reading out an article by Melanie Hamad from a Cairo paper.
Ajir, Thalab, Amil, Kelb, Qatil. She says I'm a Hashemite running dog, murderous viper, jackal, hyena, defiler of youth. Those are some of the nicer things Mrs. Hamad has to say.
Nicer?
As far as Khalid goes, I enjoy washing my hands in Palestinian blood.
Well, that's what you would expect, isn't it, Mr. Howell?
She's inciting people to assassinate me. That's bad for business.
Only for business, Mr. Howell?
Only, you say. Don't you realize that Howell's ships are being boycotted in some ports?
I realize the importance of the Howell name as a business symbol. But what I'd like to discuss with you is your own personal position, the position of Michael Howell.
The two are inseparable, Mr. Prescott.
Are they? It wasn't Agence Howell who joined the PAF, and it was Michael Howell who called for naval assistance against pirates off the coast of Israel.
But sailing in a ship owned by Agence Howell? And yes, why not say it? The detonators which exploded in Nazareth were made and packed in the Agence Howell Green Circle factory.
Oh, on the subject of detonators, Mr. Howell, I've brought you some important information that you may not have. A colleague got hold of it in Israel. At least, we think it's important, but we don't understand it. You may.
I'll read it. In the late afternoon of 2nd of July, two houses on the outskirts of an Arab village near the Israeli airport of Lod had been shattered by a dynamite explosion. From the extent of the damage, it was estimated that as much as 200 kilos of explosives had been involved. Also found scattered over a wide area were a number of flight bags belonging to foreign airlines using Lod Airport. I guessed it was something like that.
Something like what, Mr. Howe?
Khalid planned to plant these bombs of his in airline flight bags and fire them with electronic triggers by radio. Well, I gave the Israelis one of the triggers to analyze and test. Obviously, they succeeded in working out the frequencies he was using.
I'm afraid I don't follow.
Don't you know anything about making bombs?
No.
The thing is, you have the explosive, you have the detonator with a battery to fire it, and the electronic trigger to make it work at the right time. It's armed electronically. So you see what happened.
I'm afraid not.
As soon as the Israelis had worked out the radio frequencies being used, they sent out a continuous signal on the trigger frequencies. And as soon as Khalid's people started arming the bombs, poof, up goes the lot.
And so, you hope still to re-establish your position among the Arabs?
Impossible. My position is hopeless. Israeli spy, assassin, provocateur. I can face facts, Mr. Prescott. My family has been doing business in the Levant for 75 years. We're finished there now. I know that.
I see. There is one question I'd like to ask you. One final question. Did you kill Salah Khalid?
I'm not a man of violence, Mr. Prescott.
Did you or did you not kill him?
Intentionally, you mean?
Yes.
That's a strange question to ask a man in his own house.
The question has been asked outside.
And answered in an Israeli court.
I think not, Mr. Howell. In Israel, three men were on trial for piracy. You were not even called on to give evidence.
I made a deposition.
Relative to the piracy charges, yes. You weren't questioned on the deposition, and you didn't answer any questions.
Let me explain. When the Israelis didn't intercept us off Caesarea, but gave us a new course to steer instead, I guessed that they might have found a way of dealing with the bomb threat. As it turns out, they had. That piece you showed me about the explosion confirms that. But I did not know for certain, did I? How could I? Nor did I know for certain the effective range of Khalid's transmitter. Well, after Khalid had shot at Captain Touzani, he went straight for it. So I went after him with the captain's revolver in my hand. When I saw he was setting it up to transmit, I fired at it to put it out of action. I fired at it three times.
But two of the bullets hit Khalid in the chest.
Yes.
So how many bullets hit the transmitter?
I can't be sure. The Israelis may know.
It was a small target. Khalid was a large one.
I was aiming at the transmitter. It was an accident.
That you missed the small target and hit the large one? Twice?
Mr. Prescott, it was all a new experience to me, and one that I do not intend to repeat. Does that answer your question?
In the Levant, yes, it does, Mr. Howe.
And now, luncheon served. I do assure you, Mr. Prescott, I am not a man of violence.
Michael Howell should have had better luck. Piracy is simple. The district court had no difficulty in dealing with the case. The chief prosecution witnesses were Captain Touzani and another seaman from the ship. Mr. Howell issued no formal denial of the charge, but his position was disastrous. Some TAF detonators made at his Green Circle factory had found their way into Israel. On the 28th of June, a bus from Haifa bound for Tel Aviv stopped at Nazareth to pick up passengers. I need say no more. There have been so many reports of similar events, I'm sure you've heard. The result for Mr. Howell was the end of Agence Howell in the Middle East. The end of a long Levantine tradition.
Eric Ambler's The Levanter was dramatized for radio by James Pettifer. Raad Rawi played Michael Howell, Adam Hussein was Salah Khalid, and Una Beeson was Teresa Malandra. Nadim Sawala was Dr. Hawa, Neville Jason was Lewis Prescott, and Suad Fares played Melanie Hamad. Mark Zuber was Issa, Offa Faraji was Barleth, Malcolm Ward was Edwards, Lyndon Gregory was Touzani, and Hamid Dayei was Comrade Toothick. The director was Ned Shaye.